The 2006 International AIDS Conference, Time to Deliver, brought to you by KaiserNetwork.org.
What it has the potential to look like is decimated communities, decimated economies, decimated workforces, decimated families.
We have an epidemic amongst African Americans that is just exploded. We only represent 13% of the total population, but we represent somewhere around 57% of those who are infected with HIV and AIDS.
Here in the trenches in Harlem, my people are suffering. My people are dying. And I cannot stand here today and not express the passion and the commitment and the concern that I have. We must put an end to this.
Every time I start talking about it, it brings it back because he died in my arms. And you just can't believe, you know, you keep every day, you keep hoping that there will be a cure before, you know, or before he gets too bad or before he dies, there's going to be a cure. There's going to be something that's going to save him. And then when the end, you know that if it does come, it's too late for him now.
She had the flu and I remember what she looked like when she had flu, and then I had the flu. She didn't look anything like I did. So I was afraid. I don't know why, but I just felt afraid.
I'm sitting there thinking, I want to do the right things. I want to get my baby back. And now I'm going to die.
A lot of people, I think, still had that thought that, you know, it ain't gonna happen. But it's game. It happened to me.
It really is a war against not just the violence, but it is a war against ignorance.
How do we find a way to get control of a disease that has control over our communities, that's taking out young brothers and sisters at a rate that is astronomical?
The house is on fire, and we need water. We don't need to figure out where the fire is coming from or even who set the fire. We can't do anything about how this fire is raging. All we can do is put it out.
Good afternoon. I'm Phil Wilson, Executive Director of the Black AIDS Institute. On behalf of the Board of Directors and the staff of the Institute and the estimated 650,000 Black people in the United States living with AIDS, I want to thank you for joining us in this historic press conference. We're here today to talk about a crisis of epic proportions in Black America. We all know about it. Some of you have written about it. But none of us have done enough about it. AIDS in America today is a Black disease. No matter how you look at it, by gender or sexual orientation or age or social economic class or education or region in the country in which you live, Black people bear the brunt of this epidemic. A few fast facts. Who do I point? Nope, okay. Today, more than half of all people living with HIV and AIDS and newly infected with HIV each year in the United States are Black. Among women, Blacks account for 2/3 of all new infections. And data released by the CDC last year estimate nearly half of all black, gay, and bisexual men in some of America's urban centers are already infected with HIV. Men and women, young and old, gay and straight, rich and poor, no one in black America is safe from this deadly disease. And this is happening at a time of unparalleled prosperity and power for black Americans. We are here this afternoon to launch a national black mass AIDS mobilization with the goal of reversing the AIDS epidemic in black America by 2011, just 5 short years from now. We realize this is an ambitious goal. Some might say unrealistic. We believe anything less would be immoral. We've already seen the devastation visited upon us by AIDS. There are still those who deny that AIDS is our problem. There are those who will say that what we want to do cannot be done. To them, we say it is our problem. It's about our people. We will come up with the solutions, and it will be done. We accept the new reality created by the AIDS epidemic. We realize it will take a change in some of our community norms to win this battle. But you know something? We survived the Middle Passage. We survived 300 years of slavery. We survived Reconstruction and Jim Crow. We survived Bull Connor. Today, we are declaring unequivocally that we will survive AIDS. Black America can no longer afford to trifle with the politics of America's culture wars, whether they come from the right or the left. It is time for black people to take ownership of the AIDS epidemic and responsibility for ending it. Individuals, traditional black organizations, and policymakers must begin to hold ourselves accountable. The goals of this mobilization are, 1, to dramatically cut the HIV rates among black men and women. 2, to decrease the percentage of black people who don't know their HIV status. 3, to increase the percentage of black Americans with HIV in appropriate care and treatment and get them into care earlier. And most importantly, 4, to end the debilitating stigma that has stymied efforts to stop AIDS in our communities. The moment of truth has arrived. We're calling on all of black America, from individuals to political, religious and cultural leaders, from civil rights leaders to hip-hop artists and Hollywood celebrities, to make fighting AIDS a top priority, and 1, develop a national plan of action to end the AIDS epidemic in black America. 2, to identify strategies and activities that match their unique niches and capabilities. And 3, set concrete, measurable goals and objectives with real deadlines and evaluate those goals and objectives annually. We call on black leaders to lead. The AIDS story in America is mostly one of a failure of leadership. We must build a new sense of urgency in black America so that no one accepts the idea that the presence of HIV and AIDS is inevitable. It is not. We call on a massive effort to address the disproportionate impact this epidemic is having on black youth, on women, on injecting drug users, and on men who have sex with men. AIDS is not just a health issue, although clearly it is a health issue. It is a human rights issue. It is an urban renewal issue. It is an economic justice issue. Black America has no chance of winning the battle of racial justice if we lose this war. An army ravaged by disease cannot fight. A people dead cannot reap the benefits of a battle won. Yesterday, an historic contingent of black leaders, most of whom represent traditional black institutions, met to begin the process of this mass black mobilization. Each of these groups has agreed to push AIDS to the top of their national agendas and incorporate HIV/AIDS into the fabric of their work, scope, and reach. Some of the things that these groups have already agreed to do or have already done include appoint a national AIDS director, develop a 5-year strategic plan, set annual testing goals for HIV, build HIV/AIDS into their national policy and advocacy agenda, participate in awareness days such as World AIDS Day, Black Awareness Day, the Week of Prayer for the Healing of AIDS by the Bomb in Gilead, and the National HIV Testing Day, to spotlight AIDS through various communications to staff and constituents, to educate their staffs and their constituents, to include HIV and AIDS in a significant way at their annual conferences and conventions and other large organizational gatherings. Many of those leaders are here with us this afternoon. We have asked 9 of them to briefly outline what they and their organizations will do to honor their initial commitment to this campaign. Each of them, following their statement, will sign the Declaration of Commitment and the Call to Action. It is our hope that as each of them sign, black organizations all over this country will sign this Declaration of Commitment as we take this Declaration of Pledge across the country. Following the statements and signing of the declaration, we will entertain your questions, and we'll provide a photo opportunity for photographers where we'll invite the rest of the delegation to be here to also answer any questions that you might have. But first, it is with deep honor to introduce to you a hero in our community, a true leader, chairman of the NAACP, and a contributor to today's Washington Post editorial page, Julian Bond.
Thank you a great deal, Phil. And before I begin, I want to thank Phil Wilson for his tireless efforts, not only here in Toronto, but for many, many years in the past. I'm here with Maisha Patterson, the health director of the NAACP. Stand up, Maisha. And with NAACP board member Willis Edwards. Stand up, Mr. Edwards. We are here as part of an NAACP delegation because, as you've heard and as you know, AIDS is a black disease. And the NAACP has been fighting for the health of African Americans for 97 years. In this role, AIDS is our biggest challenge today. And I point you to the opinion piece Phil mentioned a moment ago, published in today's Washington Post, that's part of the press packet that bears witness to our commitment. Now, I never thought that at my age, AIDS would be my fight, but it is, because of my work with the NAACP and because my community demands it. So that to that end, the NAACP has already taken steps to fight this pandemic. We've been fighting AIDS since 1998, but statistics show us that we've not done enough. So even with our longstanding commitment, there's still much more to do. We recently passed 3 resolutions to help in the fight, including commitments to send delegates to every international AIDS conference, to provide HIV screenings and education at each of our 7 regional conferences and at our annual convention, to reauthorize the Ryan White Care Act, and to increase funding for micro... Yes, thank you, biocides. And each of our 2,000 local units staffed by our volunteers throughout the country, the grassroots frontline troops for the civil rights movement, each of these units has a health committee that monitors health care quality and access for black people, and we are committed to focusing much of that effort in the future on HIV and AIDS. Yet even with all we and many, many others have already done, this disease continues to kill black Americans, so we know we must do more. And we know our government must do more. Our newest initiative is to save prisoners in America's penal system from the devastation of AIDS by requiring testing upon their entry and leaving the prison system and assuring quality care for patients who are HIV positive. We can't accept that healthy men and women enter our prisons for short stays on minor charges or for longer stays on serious charges and then are released with a death sentence for which there is no pardon or parole. Black America must educate ourselves on how the disease is spread, how you know if you have it, how to treat it if you do. We all now need to be tested. I've done it. It was painless and bloodless, and it only took 20 minutes. Black America must reduce the evil homophobia that plagues our culture. It is perhaps the greatest single barrier to our ability to talk about AIDS. Healthcare is unfortunately not a basic right in the United States. Therefore, racial and ethnic disparities will continue to prevail unless we eradicate prejudice, bigotry, ignorance, and fear. Thank you.
Next, we have the executive director of the largest black women's organization in the world, Ms. Cheryl Cooper.
Good morning. I'm here today because AIDS is the number one killer of African American women between the ages of 25 and 34. I'm here to discuss the enormous toll HIV and AIDS is taking on all African Americans, and particularly our women. HIV and AIDS is the defining issue of our time, and the National Council of Negro Women is committed to educating African American women and empowering them to make life choices necessary to fight this deadly disease. Unbelievably, 68% of women newly infected with HIV are African American women, our women. There is no question that the impact of HIV and AIDS on our community will be felt for generations to come. And that's why it's critical that everyone play a major role in stopping the transmission of this virus. We need to increase education efforts about the causes and effects of the disease. We need to encourage everyone in the African American community to get tested. We need to advocate for a cure that is accessible regardless of your economic status. Our fight against AIDS in the black community must be a team fight, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be here with you today to discuss ways that we can begin to make this disease extinct in our population. The conference theme, A Time to Deliver, underscores the continued urgency in bringing effective HIV prevention treatment and strategies to communities throughout the world. The theme is particularly poignant for us. For too long, our community has sat idly by as this epidemic has ravaged our families and claimed the lives of our brothers and our sisters. It is indeed a time to deliver, which is why I am proud that we at the National Council of Negro Women are partnering this February with the Black AIDS Institute, the Coalition of 100 Black Women, to bring together all African American women concerned about this disease and the plight it's taking on our women. And this is just the first step that we are taking at the National Council of Negro Women. Thank you.
Next, Griselle Howard, the first vice chair of the National Coalition of 100 Black Women.
Good afternoon. I bring you greetings from our chair and founder, Jule Jackson McCabe, and our national president, Marva Smith Battle Bay. As Phil shared with you, I'm the first vice president responsible for programming, and to that end, for 25 years, the National Coalition of 100 Black Women have advocated for black women in the areas of health, economics, and social change. So 4 years ago, under our leadership and subject matter expertise, Phil Wilson, we decided that we would spend our 7,000 women, all of our largesse and resources, on being the spearhead group for black women in America and HIV and AIDS. Because you see, I am the face of AIDS. And when and where I enter, the entire race enters with me. Anna Julia Cooper, 1800s. I call you quickly to the original Star Wars movie. There were no black people in that movie. If we, as black women in America, do not decide today and every day that AIDS is our face and our fight, 2020, there'll be no black women in America. So to that end, the National Coalition has committed herself and its largesse to expanding a billboard campaign that runs the Black Belt all the way down to Mississippi, as far west as Oakland Bay and San Francisco, where we're well represented by our member and the only woman with courage to stand against the Patriot Act, Congresswoman Barbara Lee. Coupled with New York City, where the billboards still fly, not high up on Broadway, but right at your line of sight at every subway and bus stop. And those billboards say, sisters, get real about HIV and AIDS. As the co-convener of the first Black Women's Conference on HIV and AIDS last December in Los Angeles, California, partnering with the Black AIDS Institute, and once again, one of the most courageous men I know, Phil Wilson, the coalition this year is proud to partner with the grandmother of civil rights black women's organizations, the National Council of Negro Women. We hope if you are in earshot, if you see the flyer or hear the word, it will be the only place to be February 7, 2007, Los Angeles, California, the Black Women's AIDS Conference. Also, black women in the coalition and America must commit to the removal of the stigma. Only we can remove stigma. Why? Because if Big Mama says it's okay to embrace people with this virus, we do. And AIDS will impact us from 8 to 80 years old. And black women, we must be diligent in the fight for the removal of the stigma. Obviously, knowing your status is important. But once you know your status, you must be able to have a support system in place to help you navigate the waters. Thirdly, we are calling on all black women in America to hold their church pulpit accountable for education, accountable for removal of stigma, and accountable for the appropriate messages for your community. And to that end, you've heard reauthorization of the Ryan White Act, culturally appropriate messages and programming by the CDC. Also, the National Coalition has developed and seeking continued funding for having a national AIDS coordinator. We would be the first black women's organization in America to have a national AIDS coordinator. Because you see, the reason we're here in Toronto is not a sexy matter, but it is a matter of my life and yours. So on behalf of the National Coalition and all of her partners and all of the people that sponsor us, I close with say, every black woman's face you see, you remember here and where we enter. The entire race enters with us. Thank you.
Next, we have Sandra Goodrich representing the National Urban League.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It is a pleasure and an honor to be here representing my president and CEO, Mark H. Morial. I am here because the National Urban League is our nation's largest direct service African American organization. We're also a civil rights organization working in partnership with our brothers and sisters seated at this table. And I'm also here because today in 2006, AIDS is a black disease. I pledge the National Urban League's support to the Black AIDS Institute. We have over 100 affiliates around the country, at least 10% of them, that's 10 affiliates, have some kind of HIV AIDS testing, prevention, and education of service, and we're hoping to see that number grow, and we pledge our support to making sure that that number grows as we work with Phil Wilson and the Black AIDS Institute. We will include HIV AIDS as a national policy agenda, and elevate the National Testing Day and National Day of Service as our day to come out and work through our affiliate network to test African Americans for HIV/AIDS and refer them to, for clinical services. I also would like to issue a personal challenge, which is that we need to love each other unconditionally, irrespective of our status. Many of us are fearful of testing because once we are tested and if we are in fact positive, we are afraid of being stigmatized, ostracized, and pushed out of our communities. The challenge for us, just as human beings individually, is to cherish each other, love each other, support each other, love yourself, respect yourself, and protect yourself from HIV/AIDS. Thank you.
Next, we have the remarkable founder and CEO of The Bomb in Gilead.
I just became 5'7 instead of 4'11. Good morning. I am Pernessa Seale, the founder, CEO of The Bomb in Gilead, and I'm happy to stand here as a part of this national mobilization effort, not just standing here as a part of, but a key component of this national mobilization effort is the African American Church. The Bomb in Gilead for the past 18 years have been working to build the capacity of the African American Church to fight this horrendous crisis of HIV/AIDS in our community. And I stand here on behalf of many, many pastors and many, many believers who are at the front line of addressing HIV/AIDS in the African American community, at the faith, in the pulpit. We can talk many often about what the church is not doing, but I stand on behalf of those who are opening their doors every Sunday morning, Monday through Friday, bringing HIV testing services to their community, dismantling stigma, those who open their doors to everybody, regardless of their sexual orientation, regardless of their sexual behaviors, their drug addiction, or whatever. I stand on behalf of the whosoever. I am happy to say that we have not done all that we can do, but we're going to do more. We cannot stop until every black pulpit is addressing HIV/AIDS in the black community. On October 24th through the 27th in Charleston, South Carolina, the Bomb in Gilead will have its fifth annual Black Church Institute on HIV. This is our national Black Church Conference on HIV. We're happy to say that the AME Church, the AME Zion Church, and the CME Church have also already identified a health coordinator. The Episcopal health coordinator is in every Episcopal district within three historical black church denominations already on the ground. The National Baptist Convention of USA already has an HIV health coordinator at the national level. Things are moving, I'm happy to say, but we still got a long way to go. God bless you.
Next, representing the National Justice the National Black Justice Coalition, Alexander Robinson.
Good afternoon. I'm here today because I am a black gay man living with HIV. I'm here because I have no choice but to continue in this fight until it is over or until I am. I have seen many pledges, many declarations from my community about HIV. This day has been a long time coming, but I am thankful that it is here. Like the theme of this conference, my hope is that the delegates gathered here now will finally deliver. While there has been some good news out of this conference, it is clear that there is no single cure just over the horizon. There is no magic bullet. This crisis will be with us for some time. So we still have a chance to get it right. So I am here to do what I have to do to stay alive, to keep hope alive, and to keep the fight alive. The National Black Justice Coalition stands for the right of every individual to live safely, openly, and honestly in every aspect of their lives, regardless of their sexual orientation, their race, their gender identity. With this new partnership, we will be allowed to act more aggressively to continue the fight to have our voices heard. With our collective efforts, our passion for this fight can benefit from the combined experience and energy of those who have come before us. The National Black Justice Coalition is organizing in communities across the country to encourage people to come out, to be open and honest about their sexual orientation. As a result of our participation in this coalition, we will also use that as an opportunity to ask people to be honest about the fact that they're living with HIV, to know their status, to act responsibly, and to assist in ending the scourge in our community. We can accomplish this with the help of our partners. Our specific program pledge is to mobilize 100,000 people this year to come out about their lives, about their experience of homophobia and how it has affected them. Through town hall meetings, community forums across this country, we hope that the power of coming out will itself be an invaluable part to ending this fight against HIV and AIDS, because it is in the darkness, it is in the secrets that this epidemic has been allowed to flourish. We pledge our partnership, African American, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people have had no choice but to be in the fight against HIV and AIDS from the beginning. We welcome all of our brothers and sisters in this fight. Now is the time for us to get it right. Thank you.
Next, we have George Curry, editor-in-chief and acting executive director of the National Newspaper Publishers Association.
I guess Phil was so happy for me to get up here, he skipped over my fellow panelists. A.J. Liebeland, the press critic, said, freedom of the press is guaranteed only to those who own one. The National Newspaper Publishers Association is a federation of 200 people who own their own newspapers and represent 15 million readers a week. We have pledged and committed ourselves. Our NNPA President John Smith and Dorothy Lavelle, chairman of the foundation, have pledged that we will commit all of our resources to a continuing education program for our people, as well as urging people to get tested and to follow up on those tests. I'm going to end with this. I had no plans to say it. I am a straight black man. And the issue is not whether you are gay or straight. The issue is whether we don't let people continue to die needlessly.
Next, we have Stuart Burton from the Levi Strauss Foundation.
Good afternoon. My name is Stuart Burton. I'm representing both the Levi Strauss Foundation and Levi Strauss & Co. And you might be wondering, what is Levi's doing at an AIDS conference? Well, if you believe like we do, we think that every company in the world has a role in the fight against HIV/AIDS. For the last 24 years, Levi Strauss & Co. has been responding globally to HIV/AIDS. With the support of our leadership, we've funded programs in all of the different communities around the world where we have a business presence. And I say with the support of our leadership intentionally, because the chairman of the board of Levi Strauss & Co. is here at the conference today. He'll be speaking on a panel later this afternoon. Again, we're not a healthcare company. We're not a pharmaceutical company. We do this because it's the right thing to do. We've been providing support for organizations right now that ensure access to clean syringes. And the second thing we're focusing on is funding organizations that confront the stigma and discrimination around HIV/AIDS. And that's truly what brings me here today. I've sadly come to the conclusion that complacency in the United States around HIV/AIDS has led some corporations to either discontinue their funding, shift their funding, or reduce their funding. This is the wrong time to do any of those things. I'm pledging on behalf of Levi Strauss & Co. to increase our support, deepen our commitment, and increase our focus on the Black community. We've already started doing this. It's not something, I'm not just talking about something we hope to do in the future. We've already started doing this. We support the Black AIDS Institute. We support the Balm and Gilead you've already heard from, and we're looking to support many more organizations. This is work that we've done for 24 years. This is work we will do until there is no more AIDS. Thank you.
As we bring forward our last speaker, we'd like to ask the Honorable Barbara Lee and the Honorable Donna M. Christensen to join the Honorable Maxine Waters as she makes her statement. And as Congresswoman Waters, Lee, and Christensen come to the podium, we'd like to invite the rest of the delegation to come and join us on the dais, standing behind those who are seated. So if you would come and join us behind those who are seated as they come to the podium.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to thank Tony Wayford and Phil Wilson for inviting me here today and for making sure that I did all that I needed to do to get here. I'd like to thank my colleagues, Barbara Lee and Donna Christensen, who have been consistently advocating for more funds, for more resources, and their work in the Congress of the United States of America. I'm here today to help launch this national Black mass mobilization against HIV and AIDS. I'm here to join with other elected officials, civil rights leaders, HIV/AIDS organizations, and anybody else who wants to be a part of this effort. I'm here today. I'll be here tomorrow. I'll be here as long as I am needed to deal with this epidemic. I am here whenever I'm called on, no matter what AIDS organization attempts to get me to some destination, either here or in Africa, I try to make it my business to be there. Now, what am I going to do that will make a difference? First of all, I'd like to give you just a little bit of history about some of what we have done in the Congressional Black Caucus. On April 24, 1998, while I was the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, the Congressional Black Caucus held a health brain trust, which was sponsored by then Congressman Lewis Stokes. During this brain trust, I and other members of the CBC were shocked by a presentation that was made by Dr. Benny Prim, the executive director of the Addiction Research and Treatment Corporation, which described the current state of the crisis of HIV/AIDS in minority communities, particularly the African-American community. Now, if you can recall, around that time, Mario Cooper, a Harvard scholar and longtime AIDS activist, claimed that CBC members were not doing anything to address the HIV/AIDS epidemic among Blacks. So it was about that time Donna Shalala, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, attended a meeting of the Congressional Black Caucus, and we asked her, as the Secretary of Health and Human Services, did she recognize that there was a crisis in the Black community? And she hemmed and hawed a bit and hesitantly said, there is a crisis. So on May 11, 1998, the CBC held a meeting that brought together most of the advocates, over 20 public health workers, and AIDS activists and representatives from all over America to tell us about the impact of HIV/AIDS on minority communities. That same day, the CBC called on President Clinton to declare a public health emergency to combat the HIV/AIDS crisis in minority communities. Also in May of that year, to demonstrate what we were trying to do, we all got on a bus and we went up to Baltimore, where there's a high incidence of HIV/AIDS among African Americans. We visited an HIV/AIDS program at Johns Hopkins, as well as a syringe exchange program and a program serving women. In fall of 1998, Congressman Lewis Stokes, Congresswoman Donna Shalala, Congresswoman Donna Christensen, and I met with Secretary Shalala to discuss the crisis. We agreed that was really what was needed was not so much the declaration, but rather some money to address the crisis. So on October 28th, the CBC held an event to roll out the Minority AIDS Initiative. Now, a lot of people don't know about the Minority AIDS Initiative. We hear a lot of talk about the Ryan White, that is the major funding, but in addition to that, we got the Minority AIDS Initiative. This event featured the participation of President Clinton, Secretary Shalala, Congressman Stokes, Congresswoman Christensen, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, and myself, and representatives of HIV/AIDS organizations from around the country. At this rollout, we announced the Minority AIDS Initiative would receive an initial appropriation of $156 million that started in 1999. This program provides grants to community-based organizations and other healthcare providers for HIV/AIDS treatments and prevention programs serving African American, Hispanic, Asian American, and Native American communities. The Minority AIDS Initiative enables healthcare providers serving minority communities to expand their capacity to deliver culturally and linguistically appropriate care and services. Funding for the Minority AIDS Initiative grew considerably during its first few years, although funding has leveled off under this Bush administration. $166 million in 1999, $251 million in 2000, on up to now, where we are requesting over $610 million, and we've got 119 million members signed off on my request. Why do I tell you that? I tell you that because we have been struggling and we have been fighting, and we're going to continue to do it. In this new initiative that's being led by Phil and others who work so hard, the first thing we're going to do is ask each and every African American to accept responsibility for him or herself and get in tune with the fact that people are dying every day. Get your heads out of the sand and understand that you are just as vulnerable as anybody else. First, take responsibility so that we can demand from others that they take responsibility. Secondly, I'm going to really step on some toes because I'm going to ask civil rights organizations, politicians, and AIDS organizations, stop playing footsies with these pharmaceuticals who are giving you 50 cents instead of really funding what is needed with this problem. Too many of them, well, first of all, they are the biggest funders of politicians of all contributors in America. Most of their money go to right-wing conservatives who don't give a darn about HIV and AIDS. And when they come to the Congress of the United States, the biggest pharmaceuticals in America are not advocating for more money. They're trying to find a way to keep the government from not negotiating lower prices for drugs, particularly if we've worked through this Medicare D program. So you need to know that and you need to understand that. Secondly, as you talk about AIDS, let's talk about it in ways that these young people will understand what it is we're talking about. The pharmaceuticals have enough money to buy every billboard in America if they want to. They have, and don't use billboards. Did the pharmaceuticals turn the sign off? No. I will not do the nasty with you without a rubber. I don't want to die. You got to talk real language so people understand. And these young people, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, who are dying, don't know what you're talking about. We're not connecting with them, and they continue to put themselves at risk and die. And so I'm here today, as I will be every day, but I'm taking the gloves off. I'm not so nice about this anymore. I am not going to be so nice about testing anymore. I'm going to start demanding that everybody going into the criminal justice system get tested. I'm going to start demanding on the way out, you get tested. A lot of people are not going to like that, and I want more testing of HIV/AIDS pregnant women so that they don't pass it on to the babies through the placenta. And so we're getting tough. We're demanding responsibility. We're stepping outside of the box. And if you don't like it, don't invite me back to the conferences anymore.